Blog Talk Radio.
All mechanical creation, all images of enslavement and imprisonment, all rage and anger of death and hell and the murder and the murderous intent, the confusion of masculine and feminine roles, all portrayal of sexual perversion, including homosexuality and lesbianism, sympathy for Satan and the sorrows of Satan, association with the Nephilim and spacecraft, all perversions of the third eye through distorted and exaggerated images, perverted movements of the body and breakdancing and other forms of dancing. And we especially call for the judgment in this hour and the destroying of rock music directed specifically against children through the videos that were portrayed. And working specifically through these individuals, for whom we call for the judgment of the sacred fire in this hour before the throne of Almighty God.
Under the sky looking at fireworks. And so we're batting about 50%, I think, in the last 2 months. I know they were sabotaging some shows earlier. That's just how it goes. That's just, you know, welcome to the blacklist. I've been on a blacklist since 2005, 2004. And so it's really hard to get anything out there. The Father wants me to get to his people because everybody blacklists you. Everybody ignores you. Everyone's afraid to have you on their shows. And so I've been doing videos. And if I can figure out videos, anybody can. Now, they don't look like Hollywood movie productions, but they get the point across. So I've put up about 20 videos in the past since, like, June. I think June, let's see, June 10th. My first video since last year. And I've put up about 20 since then. So if you want to check out my channel at YouTube, just look up Sherry Schreiner. And all the haters are going to come out of the woodwork, and I really don't care. I don't care. I'm dealing with haters for years. But there's some things that never change, folks. And it's the things Lucifer hates the most. And that, you know, when you hear what he hates, and it's been along the lines of what the Father has led you to do for the last 15 years, you know you're on the right path. You know you're on the right path. You know, Christians have this thing where they think, oh, Lucifer hates it when we all go to church and praise the Father's name. Yeah, he hates it, but all his people are there too doing the same thing because they just blend in with you guys. Christians have this backwards idea that anyone who worships Satan can't profess Jesus as Lord. That's how they get you in ignorance, folks. Satanists can profess Jesus as Lord. You know why? Because Jesus isn't his real name. I hate getting into linguistic battles with people, but when it comes to using his real name, there's good reasons why you should. Now, Jesus honors people who don't know his real name. He doesn't get all heck bent over who calls him what. He knows what your intent is. But don't put him in the box. You know, don't drown in stupidity, and don't think Lucifer can play little games around your ignorance, because he does every day. So I prefer the real name Yahushua. Yahushua ben David. That's not so hard to say. You know, that's why people get into these arguments with the atheists and Jewish historians, because they look back in history and they've never found a Jew named Jesus Christ. That's because he didn't exist. He didn't exist until the KJV came out in 1611. His name was Yahushua ben David. Yahushua is probably the right pronunciation, but we all just call him Yahushua. He doesn't care. But Yahushua ben David is probably the 100% correct pronunciation. Yahushua simply God's salvation. But there is no Jesus Christ. That's Sananda. When people leave the control of the churches and they start going to the Father's feet and asking him directly for the truth in all things, that's one of the things Satan hates and fears the most. Because he's got control of all the churches. He's got control of what you believe and how you believe it. And all these pastors coming out of the cemeteries are owned by Lucifer. Every one of these religious seminaries that turn out pastors, they're owned and run by Lucifer's people. They control what you think, what you learn in those seminaries, how far you learn, how far you go. They want to keep you in a little box of the KJV and look nowhere else for truth. I don't know how many Christians I hear call aliens demons. Oh, they're demons. They're demons. No, they're not demons. Aliens and demons are two different dimensional beings. But that's what the pastors tell them, because they don't have any other explanation as to who these aliens are, because they won't bother to read the first 10 chapters of Enoch. Even the first chapter of Enoch. Enoch was included in the Ethiopian KJV version. Why wasn't it included in the American version? Enoch was one of the greatest patriarchs, one of the greatest men who ever. He was known as the man who walked with God. How come the churches don't even know who he is? Yeshua mentions him when he was here. They mentioned Jasher. They mentioned Jubilees. Why weren't those books put in the KJV? And you know what the churches will tell you? They weren't canonized because they weren't legitimate books. They weren't found to have authenticity. That's a bunch of hogwash, folks. In my interview with the devil, I asked Lucifer about the KJV specifically. Why was Enoch left out of the Bible? He said, Enoch revealed too much info. It was easier for them to keep out all the books and that revealed a lot of info and stick with certain narratives. They wanted the church crowd today dumbed out and stupid about who fallen angels are, so that when they pop back up in the last days and they're already here, nobody recognizes them for what they are. Oh, they're demons. Demons are the spirits of the dead Nephilim. And they were cursed to just roam the earth. That was their curse upon death. These spirits would just roam the earth. And they're demons. Aliens are fifth dimensional beings. And they're not dead yet. They're live beings. They inhabit space. They inhabit bases and cities under the earth. And on planets and star systems around the earth. They're not dead. They're not fathers, but they're not dead. They're fifth-dimensional beings. They're Satan's minions. They're his offspring. Some of them are creatures that have been brought over from other universes. The Father said nothing new under the sun ever happens, because everything's been done before. So wake up out of the control boxes, folks, and start learning some new things. And don't be afraid to learn. Ask the Father to reveal the truth in all things to you. CERN in Switzerland has existed once before. That's not some new technological feat that they masterfully put together in the last days. CERN has been around for thousands of years, maybe not in the exact same machine, but ones just like it have existed before. When Lucifer rebelled in heaven and took a third of the angels with him, up until a certain point, he almost had two-thirds of the angels with him. And the angels fought against him. But guess what was part of his rebellion? People always want to know where Nibiru came from. Pay attention. Nibiru was a planet away from the heavenly system that Lucifer had found, and him and his scientists and his people were secretly going to this planet. Their idea was to turn it into a sun, much like they've been trying to do with Jupiter. They wanted to do to Nibiru. They wanted to turn it into a sun, put it in the center of them and of their own solar system. They wanted to mimic the heliocentric system of heaven. And Nibiru was a huge planet, so they wanted to turn that into a sun and then have all Lucifer's other planets around it, just like heaven was, have his own heaven, mimic Father's. And so they were going to this Nibiru planet, Lucifer had found out that he could go through these planets in the North and South Poles, that they were all entrances into these planets, and the centers were hollow. And so they built a city inside the hollow part of Nibiru. And they had these huge CERN-type machines. And he started pulling in creatures from other universes with their CERN machine that they had. And he would tag them. And he would implant them, and he would control them. And he had them separated into different groups, little armies of his own. And then when he wanted to pull off his rebellion against heaven, he started to pull out all these creatures and all these creature-like armies that he had built with this thing and stashed away. And he pulled them out and unleashed them onto the planets that were part of heaven's system. And he's going to do the same thing in these last days. He's got that whole same setup going on again, where he's tagging creatures. They use Montauk for that. They have time travel gates in Montauk in upper northern Long Island, New York, where they pull these creatures in and they tag them and they send them back out so they can follow them where they're going. They can find out where the other ones are. And then they can pull them all in and tag them. Much like tagging cows, cattle, for the fair. Everybody's got a tag on their ear. That's what they're doing to these creatures. And then when they want to bring them all back in, they can bring them back in. Or they can pull them wherever they want to with these chip implants in their tags and stash them and hide them. And then he's going to unleash them all on mankind. Just like he did before in the heavens. He's going to do it again here on earth. And it's going to be crazy. This place will be run amok with interdimensional creatures, the ugliest things you've ever seen. And that's just his side of things. Father has his own judgments coming, listed in Revelation chapter 9 and Joel chapter 2. But he hates people to get knowledge. So he wants you to go sit at a pastor's foot that's accredited by him, which means approved by him, so you can stay dumbed down. You never get any real knowledge of the things that are coming. Another thing he hates is for people to wake up about Paul, the scoundrel he has, dominating the churches today, dominating the New Testament. He hates it when people wake up about his scoundrels. I'm going to be working on some videos exposing Paul. Put up a website about 15 years ago on Paul. Father said, lead my people back to me. And the only way you can do that is to pull them out of the apostasies they're in now. It's like trying to take candy from a baby. They will fight you tooth and nail to keep their apostasies, to keep their Christmas trees and their Easter bunny worship. Or their paganisms. Because didn't Paul say that all things are permissible? When in Rome, do as the Romans. He gives you this license to be an apostate. Who are you kidding? Yeah, the Father has patience. This patience runs out with ignorance in his people. That's why they're going to be the first ones tested and thrown in FEMA camps. While they're all sitting here railing, waiting on a rapture to come. Take them off the earth. And almost every one of the people in these Protestant churches are going to be hauled off and put in FEMA camps. You know why? Because those who sit at the Father's feet aren't sitting in those Protestant churches because they know they're not the Father's. Get them, pull them out. Just pull them out. It doesn't tell you to go to an apostate den of thieves. And that's what they all are. It's liberating when you realize, hey, I don't have to be involved with this anymore. Because you do it out of guilt. You do it out of guilt. They guilt bomb you. Well, you're not one of the Lord's if you're not going to church on Sunday. The guilt bomb. Well, that's not what my pastor preaches. He should leave. Leave. Pastors don't preach much of any truths. They're doing good if they're preaching salvation. After that, they're not preaching much of anything else that's useful. Summer of chaos is what they're building on. They want to have a summer of chaos so that they can have some kind of harvest in September. That was a code speak given to me a couple weeks back. I'm not real sure what this harvest in September means. I know that in occultic circles, September is the big harvest month, where they reap what they've sown since spring. Because spring, they have all these rituals of spring planting, the time of planting and inception and all that kind of stuff. And then you have the harvest in the fall, which is September. Another big plans is to have riots in Cleveland during the Republican National Convention, and then the next week riots in Philly. And they want these riots to get so big and bad that they have to declare martial law. Well, I really don't think Cleveland's going to be the big booming surprise. I think it's going to be our surprise, our busting surprise on them. This is my backyard. I grew up outside of Cleveland, and I think all these people who are busing in and driving in, going to be a little disappointed. You know angering me about this whole Republican National Convention is they announced it back in 2012 that in 2016 the RNC would be in Cleveland. And immediately, like right after they announced it, the city of Cleveland was using their construction unions to start building underground bases. And they're not really bases. You know what they are? They're underground hotels. They went, 9th Street is one of the major streets through Cleveland. It's where the parking garages are. It's where the banks are. It's where the mall is. If it's still down there, I don't even know if it's still down there. But that's where the banks are and the parking garages. And then you can walk down, I think it's Lakeside. I don't remember it. But it's the street that goes down. And then there's the baseball stadium. And it used to be called Gund Arena. I don't even know what it's called now. Staples Center. I don't know. I think that's L.A. I don't know, but it's the basketball arena. It's right next to the baseball stadium. And then about 50 feet up the road is where all the banks are. Well, they started started using the unions to make access points through the lobbies of these banks on 9th Street. So they could act like they're going into the banks, but there's these secret entrances where they take these elevators down to the hotels underneath. Because it's basically what they are, because what they dug out and built was hallways of bedrooms. Basically underground hotels. And they have these areas underground to mimic my labs where they can traffic children in, where they can kill and rape and do their rituals to Satan while out of public view under these banks in Cleveland. And that just angered me. And this was back in 2012. So you can imagine how much they've progressed over the years in getting these facilities ready for all this child trafficking and satanic rituals they're planning to do next week in Cleveland for the RNC. You know, folks, if you see buses, children learning vans, library vans, windowless vans, take pictures. Follow them. See who's coming out of the vans when they park. Get pictures of the license plates, the drivers. Let's put them on notice. We're watching. We know what you're doing. Because they're going to be busing children in to these underground hotels they have so that people like Donald Trump and all of them can show Lucifer how loyal they are. And they're going to rape and kill babies. And they're going to do the same thing next week at the DNC. It just disgusts me. It angers me. When I was in New York down at Wall Street, there was a van, children's ABC learning van, and it was backed up to a back entrance of a bank. They had transported children into that bank in the basement where they rape and murder children during the day on Wall Street. These Satanists don't meet six times a year on full moon, high moons, whatever, blah, blah. They meet every day. They do sacrifices to Satan every day around this country. And they don't go to haunted houses and forests and blah. They go to banks. They go to churches. Some of the biggest groups in this country in Chicago and New York City meet in the basement of Catholic cathedrals. There's a huge one on the west side of Central Park in New York. And then there's another one, I think it's over by the UN. It's over by the Empire State Building there. St. Patrick's Cathedral, I think it's called. It's right down from Rockefeller Center. It's not too far from there. I was there probably, it was late at night, and there was all these black SUVs and police cars parked in across the street of it, and the whole church was dark, so it doesn't look like there's anything going on there. It looks like it's locked down for the night. But then across the street, you have all these police cars and SUVs parked there because they were inside the church in the basement. And at that one, they don't just kill children. They're equal opportunity Satanists. They take whole families, or they'll take a father. When I was there, a father and his daughter were being sacrificed to Lucifer. I asked Father about it. That's what they do, folks. They do it in the afternoons. and they do it at night. And they're all required to do it. That's why child trafficking is such huge business in this country. The Pentagon will bring in about 1,500 kids a week just to the Pentagon. On any given day, they can have up to 400 kids brought in. And they take them to the underground base in the Pentagon where they rape and kill them. These people are monsters. So the RNC will be busy. They're probably going to be going in, I would assume, this Friday and Saturday night to start their rituals to Lucifer. I'd like to see some protesters sit up down there with Black Lives Matter. How about Children Matter? I would die laughing if some people were down there with some signs with the international sign for no, and it's a devil on the poster, a picture of the devil, no Satan worship, whatever. Just protest against all the Satan worship that's going to be taking place next week down there. Same thing for Philly. Let's let them know that we know what they're doing. We're keeping an eye on them. We're watching your banks. We're watching your churches. It's not just Catholic churches in Elyria. They have Baptist churches. Satanists ran out. Church of the Open Door. Open Door Christian in Elyria. The Satan-infested church. They do rituals in the basement of that place. Who would have thought, you know? I was on the east side of Cleveland. And then Elyria's on the west, way west. And it seems to be one of their major hubs is Elyria in Cleveland. Posted a video on soul scalping and how they do it. The RFID microchips, doesn't matter which hand it is, either hand. Someone posted one on, if the number is even 666. You know, in the Jerusalem Bible, the number for Satan was 606. They also said it could be 616. In the KJV, it's 666. I think people will get it. Either way, Satan. Satan worship. The Father says, lead my people back to me. How do you do that? They have to be willing to be led back to him. Because first of all, they have to see and realize, wait a minute. What am I worshiping? What am I believing here that I'm so far off base that the Father says we need led back to him? I want to give you an example. All right? Everybody says that the law is dead. The churches today, if you say, are you celebrating Passover? They'll look at you cross-eyed and beat you over your head with their Easter bunnies and jelly beans. Oh, we don't have to celebrate those. Those are over with. They'll have a hard time during the millennial reign of Christ, don't you think? Because when David's ruling from Jerusalem during the 1,000-year millennial reign, they're observing the feast. There was no hiccup in God's plan. They did not stop for 2,000 years. They did not begin and then say, okay, during the age of the church, the law's over. We no longer celebrate the feast. We celebrate on Sundays. We put up Christmas trees. And we put jelly beans and Easter eggs and call it a resurrection. And then comes the millennial reign of Christ. David rules from Jerusalem. And they're back to celebrating the feast because the Bible says they'll be observing Passover. The kings of the earth will be going up to Jerusalem for Passover once a year. So why is something that was supposedly dead and done away with implemented again? It was never dead and done away with, folks. The churches said it was, but the Father never said it was. The Father had a timeline instituted through his feasts and appointed times with mankind. And he wanted them to observe it because it kept in their memories the timelines and the events of the past, the present, and the future of what was coming. But the churches wiped all that away. They said that the law was nailed to the cross. You always hear Satan's hissing all that stuff. Let me tell you something about the Torah laws, because the one thing you'll hear from church people is how there's so many, you could never keep them straight. Do you know all the laws today in your own state? No. But you know the main ones, and you know to observe and honor those. This is no different. There were 613 Torah laws, and a large portion of these related to sacrifices and offerings, which can only be made in the temple. Yahushua was the perfect sacrifice, and there is no temple today. So a large portion of those laws don't even pertain to today. They no longer exist. Then there was a huge bulk of the laws that pertained only to the theocratic state of Israel. They were in regards to the king, the Supreme Court, the system of justice. And they can't be observed today either because there's no theocratic state of Israel. And then there was laws that only pertained to the Levitical priests. Again, there's no temple, there's no Levitical priests. So most of these laws don't even affect people today. And yet all you hear from the churches is how confusing and burdensome they would be. Really? Say, no, there's too much tedious stuff in the laws. Well, some of the laws pertain to Sabbath day, which is worshipped on the seventh day, which is Saturday. And they tell you what you can and can't do. What's the big deal about that? It's a day of relaxation. And they protected everybody equally. It wasn't a day for the men to relax and the women to stay in the kitchen busy all day, having to cook for their lazy butts. It was a day for everybody to relax. Or vice versa, if you're a man who cooks and you got a lazy wife. It was a day for everybody to relax. Then there was dietary laws. No shellfish or pork. You want some worms with that pork, folks? Pork is the most nasty animal you can eat. In fact, I was told by an Israeli Jew that it is a crossbreed between, it's a pork, a rat, and a human. Or a boar. A boar, a rat, and a human. And that's how they got pork. So when you eat pork, you're eating some kind of semblance of human flesh. And when you eat pork, there's all kinds of worms and pestilences that's in the meat that then takes up root in your digestive system and makes you bloated and sick and get diseases. The same thing with shellfish. Shellfish are bottom feeders. scavenge the bottom of the oceans, and they eat crap. And then you turn around and eat that shellfish. There's always good reasons for the laws that he had his people follow. Another one was praying after you eat. Most of us have been taught to pray before we eat. Torah law says to pray after you eat. And then there's other ones of cleanliness, washing your hands after you use the restroom. Oh yeah, these are real burdensome, folks. They're real burdensome. And yet Paul screams throughout 13 of his Masonic books in the New Testament, the law is dead. The law is a curse. Let me tell you some other things why Paul screamed, the law is dead and the law is a curse. Because Paul was a Pharisee. And this is the sect Yahushua called vipers and sons of the devil. Now, if you look at the group Pharisees online, it makes it look like they were the party of the people, that the ancient Jews liked the Pharisees and blah, blah, blah. It's not true. Yahushua called them vipers and sons of the devil. Paul was from the tribe of Benjamin. And if you read Genesis chapter 49:27, when Jacob's sons received their blessings, Benjamin was noted as the raving wolf. It said, Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. The tribal standard of Benjamin was the wolf. And Paul was a wolf from the tribe of Benjamin through his mother, who was from the tribe of Benjamin. Paul's father was not Jewish. His mother was. But see, in Jewish lineage, your lineage is based on a Jewish mother's birth, not the father. So the fact that his mother was Jewish made him a Jew. You know what the saying is, mama's baby, papa's maybe. It was the Jewish mother that made them a Jew. His father was a Roman. He worked for the Roman government, spent a lot of time in the Roman bathhouses, where Paul did. Nowhere in any kind of history of Paul will you read where he had a girlfriend or wife. Anywhere. But he spent a lot of time in Roman bathhouses with people like Gamaliel, private tutor. How does a poor boy end up with one of the most elite tutors of the Jews? He was the founding father. He was the grandson of Hillel, who was the founding father of the Pharisees. Paul was a rich guy. His father was a Roman official. Paul was studying to be a lawyer. His mother, I'm gathering from my earlier studies about Paul that his mother had died when he was born. And so he had an anger towards women because of his mother dying and leaving him when he was born. He pretty much grew up with tutors at that point, with Gamaliel. But the Pharisees wanted to protect the status quo. Because in the Jewish Constitution Bill of Rights, which is basically what the Torah was, it was their Bill of Rights. It protected them from oppression and protected their liberty. They had a social security system set up. Every person was entitled to social security. And this means that if anyone fell on hard times, that the communities would give them the money they needed to get back up on their feet. And the people that would, the communities that would give them the loans to get back on their feet, weren't allowed to charge interest rates. You know how you get a school loan today, a house loan today? Terrible. You get a mortgage, by the time you get it paid off, you've paid three times what the house is worth. You get a $100,000 mortgage, it'll be over $300,000 by the time you get it paid off. This is what they do to you. And this is what the Torah prevented them from doing to people, charging them interest rates on loans. Corporate monopolies weren't allowed. The country's wealth was shared among all the people equally. It was an equal and fair distribution of wealth. So if you can imagine all this oil that America has, it would belong to the people. And all the oil we sold overseas, other countries, all that money that would come in would be divided equally among the people. There were no corporations. There were no BPs and Exxons and Shells, Speedway, Sheets, Marathons. There were no monopolies and resources that belonged to the country. Like all these private bottled water companies. Water is a resource of the people of the country they live in. All that money would be equally divided amongst the people if you were selling bottled water. So there were no monopolies. The people shared in the country's wealth. Bankers and accountants, their role wasn't to fleece the people. It was to oversee the money and make sure it was evenly distributed. If anybody in a community had to have loans to get back up on their feet, that debt would be wiped out after 7 years. That's what Jubilee was. It was a wiping out of debts. So if you had to file bankruptcy, then the community would give you some money to get back on your feet, and you would pay that money back. So you paid on it for 5 or 6 years. Whatever you owed during the seventh year would be forgiven. That debt would be canceled. That's why it was called Forgiveness of Debts of Jubilee Year. And it wasn't the poor people of communities that were required to give their money to people who were struggling and needed it. It was the job of the rich people. Now they didn't get to sit around and hawk up the numbers in their bank accounts to the tens of millions and billions. If they had money, they had to share it with those who didn't. They had to give them loans. And then the people would pay back on it 6 years, and the seventh year they would be forgiven of the debt. So the rich people weren't just giving their money away, they were getting it back. But these were the kinds of laws that the Pharisees were against. Because if you look at the Federal Reserve System today and the satanic 1% elitists who run our government today, those are the Pharisees of back in the day. They were charging the people exorbitant amount of interest rates. They had taken over the people with their smooth talking, led them away from the Torah laws. Servants, slaves, had to be released every 7 years. Paul was against that. The whole book of Philemon was about that, his slave Onesimus. He was supposed to set him free, and he didn't want to because they'd like to keep their slaves. And so when Yahushua arrives on the scene and he sees what's going on, that these sons of the devil and these vipers and led the people away from the true intent and the laws of the Torah, and told them, we're doing it this way now. And they were charging the people on their loans, and they were making them slaves to the bankers and the taxmen. And Yahushua tried to stand up and say, hey, that's not the intent of what the law is. You're leading them astray with your apostasies and your wrong teachings. And so they hated him for that. They hated him. That's why they cheered him on to die on the cross. Because they hated him for trying to steer the people out of their apostasies and wrong beliefs and teachings and back into the truth. And he was a threat to the rich 1% that had been, that had taken control of the people and leading them astray. He was a threat to them. That's why they wanted him dead. He was trying to teach them the right way, get back to the right way. Trying to say, okay, you guys have been lied to. These wolves have taken over the churches and they're leading you down the wrong path. This is what the real path is. And that's why they wanted him dead. Interestingly enough, Paul's father was a Mithraic initiate of the day. And back in that day, Mithraism is identical to what we call Freemasonry. They worshiped Lucifer. Mithra was Lucifer. And today in Freemasonry, they worship the God of Light, who is Lucifer. And the whole Damascus Road thing, the blinding light. Hello, folks. What does Yeshua say in Matthew? He says several times, if you go to him, you have to have childlike faith. And coming up and trying to find him any other way makes you a thief and a robber. I can't remember the verse. Don't you think it would be kind of nice if all of our unsaved loved ones had a blinding light, Damascus Road revelation to stop them from going to hell? He never did it. It never happened. And I'll tell you why. Because when you study Josephus and you study Damascus back in that certain period of time of the Christian persecutions, Damascus was a safe city. It was a safe haven. And yet Paul says he was on his way to Damascus to persecute Christians. It was a safe haven. It was a safe city. They weren't being persecuted in Damascus at that time. There's so many holes in his story. He says he was with a garrison of soldiers on his way to Damascus. How come none of these soldiers, where were they? How come none of them could be found to verify Paul's story? He says, well, they saw a light, but they didn't hear anything. In another passage, he says, they heard something but didn't see the light. He says it four different ways in his books of Acts and 1 Corinthians. Four different versions of the road to Damascus story. And the thing is, one of the initiation rituals of Masonry and Mithraism, they call it the blinding light ritual, where you get blinded by a great light, and then you see all the errors you've been in, and you embrace the God of Illuminati or Illumination, this God of Light, whatever. It's actually a ritual in Freemasonry. And it was a ritual back then, and what they did was they played it out again for Paul so he'd have something to tell the Christians about his divine revelations. Because he needed some kind of a basis to come in and say, hey, I'm the new one now. I'm apostle number 13, and I get all my info from divine revelations, and now you follow me. That's basically what he did. There were 12 apostles, not 13. Their names are on the gates of the New Jerusalem. Paul's name is not included. The office of apostle was closed after Matthias replaced Judas. Paul didn't replace Judas. Matthias did. And at that point, the title and office of apostle was closed because no one else would ever qualify after that to have walked and been a part of Yahushua's ministry on earth. That was a requirement to be an apostle. Paul didn't even qualify to be an apostle. He had never met You sure he had never talked to him? He had never been a part of the ministry? He didn't qualify. And that's even stated in one of his own books in Acts chapter 1. The qualifications to be an apostle. And he's led Christianity away from the truth, away from the teachings of Yahushua and the early apostles for almost 2,000 years now. Get back to the truth, folks. Anyway, I'm going to spend some time on this probably the rest of the summer, putting up videos to teach people about Paul. I can't stand them. The hissing, it's like talking to Lucifer. You know, I've spent a good part of early summer in conversations and interviews with Lucifer, and then when you start reading Paul's stuff, you hear that hiss. You hear the same arrogance. You hear the same mannerisms. When you start to read Paul's stuff, it's like reading Lucifer's. It's like listening to Lucifer talk. I bring to you a new gospel. Yeah, he brought the churches a new gospel, a new Messiah, new teachings, new pagan holidays. Does anybody ever stop and wonder what did the early churches believe? But that's what I did. I stopped dead in my tracks and I started wondering, what did the early churches believe? What did the early apostles teach? And then when you get into that kind of a study, you realize the churches today are nothing like they were back then. And you realize why they persecuted the early Christians back then, why they were in such a rage against the early believers, because they wanted to eliminate all the churches and all the Christians who rejected Paul, because they wanted to set Paul up as the champion of church history and the churches today. Because he was one of theirs. He was one of theirs. And all the apostles had rejected him. The Damascus document, where James, Peter, and John excommunicated Paul from the church, oh, that'll never see the light of day. But they found it in the Dead Sea Scrolls. Anyway, folks, hope you're staying busy. Get the ore going out. The summer of chaos, let's give them one right back. Let's get the ore going out. Get it in your yards. Get it in your towns, your cities, the borders of your states, the best places. They hate the truth, and they hate orgone, so let's pound them with both. I'll be back next week. God bless.